The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 29-45, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hathikari, recorded on April 13, 2007, in Helsinki, Finland.
So we're continuing on with our nectarian study of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 17. Punishment and Reward of Kali. Tonight we're reading texts 29 through the end of the chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tang Jigansum Abhipretya.
Tang Jigansum Abhipretya.
Vihaya Nripalanchanam.
Vihaya Nripalanchanam.
Tat Padamulang Shirasa. Samagad Bhaya Vivala.
Samagad Bhaya Vivala.
When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and under pressure of fear completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Text 30. Patatang Padayor Vira. Kripaya Dina Vatsala.
Kripaya Dina Vatsala.
Sharanya Navadich Choklya.
Sharanya Navadich Choklya.
Ahache Dang Hasaniva.
Ahache Dang Hasaniva.
Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Text 31. Rajovacha Nate Gudakesha Yashodharanam Badanjaler Vai Bayamasti Kinchit. Navartita vyang bhavata katanchana. Chitre madiye tvam madharma bandhu. The king thus said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion." Text 32. Tvang vartamanang naradeva deheshva. Anu pravitto yamadharma puga. Lobhan ritam charyam anaryam angho. Jeshchatcha maya kalahascha bhambha. If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man-god or as an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. Text 33. Na varti tavyam tadadharma bandho. Dharma na satyena cha varti tavye. Brahmarvate yatra yajanti yagyair. Yageshwaram yagya vitana vigya. There, O friend of your religion, you do not deserve to remain in the place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 34. Yasmin Harir Bhagavan Ijyamana. Ijyatma Murtir Yajatang Shatanoti. Kamangamoghansira Jangamanam. Antarbahir Vayari Vaisha Atma. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because He is the Supersoul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is He only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. Text 35. Suta uvacha parikshataivam adishta sakalir jatta vepatu tam ujatasam ahedam dandapanim vivodyatam. Sri Suta Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Parikshit, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj ready to kill him, Kali spoke to the king as follows. Text 36. Kalir uvacho yatraka vata vatsyami. Sarvabhaumattavagyaya lakshayetatratraprapi tvammatteshu sharasanam. O Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. Text 37. Tanme dharma britam shreshta.
Tanme dharma britam shreshta.
Stanang nirdeshtum arhasi.
Stanang nirdeshtum arhasi.
Yatraiva niyato vatsya.
Yatraiva niyato vatsya.
Atishtang ste nushasanam.
Atishtang ste nushasanam.
Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of Your government. Text 38. Suta uvacha. Abhyartitas tada tasmai.
Abhyartitas tada tasmai.
Stanani kalaye dadau.
Stanani kalaye dadau.
Juktang panang striyasuna. Yatra dharmas chaturvidha. Siddha Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. You can note that this is a very easy list to remember because this is our four regulative principles. Now you know why Prabhupada gave us these four regulative principles. Because these are the place where Kali resides. If you dismantle these pillars, then Kali has no place. Text 39. Punascha yajamanaya. Jatta rupam adat prabhu.
Jatta rupam adat prabhu.
Madang kamang.
Tatanritang madang kamang.
Rajavaryam cha panchamam.
Rajavaryam cha panchamam.
the personality of Kali, asked for something more. And because of his begging, the king gave him permission to stay where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. Text 40. Amuni panchastanani.
Amuni panchastanani.
Yadharma
pravavakkali.
Atareyena dattani. Nyavyasattani deshakrit. Thus the personality of Kali, by the directions of Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places. Text 41. Ahaitani naseveta.
Ahaitani naseveta.
Babushu purushakvachit.
Babushu purushakvachit.
Vishestato dharmoshilo.
Vishestato dharmoshilo.
Rajaloka patir guru.
Rajaloka patir guru.
Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, Brahmins, and sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above-mentioned irreligious principles. Text 42. Vrishasya nashtang strinpadan.
Vrishasya nashtang strinpadan.
Tapasaucham dayamiti. Prati sandadha ashvasyo mahincha samavardhayat. Thereafter, the king reestablished the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull. And by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Texts 43 and 44. Sa eisha etar hyadhyasta. Asanam prativocitam. Pitamehenopanyastang. Yagaranyam vivikshyata. Aste duna sarajarshi. Karavendram Shiyorlasan. Gajava ye Mahabhagash. Chakravarti Brihachchava. The most fortunate emperor, Maharaj Parikshit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Text 45. Itam bhutan nubhavoyam.
Itam bhutan nubhavoyam.
Abhimanyu suto nripa.
Abhimanyu suto nripa.
Yashapalayata chaning. Yuyam satraya dikshita.
Yuyam satraya dikshita.
Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. So that concludes the chapter, and now we will discuss some high points. Actually, all the points are high points. You can't say some are high points, some are not high points. Every single facet of Vaishnava philosophy is a high point. The spiritual master, the preacher, does not waste his time with trivia. In the material world, they have to fill in with trivia, because actually that's all they have is trivia. They have nothing but trivia. Their katha is nothing but trivia. Useless, flapping of the lips in the breeze. That's all. But every syllable, every word of Bhagavatam is of the highest significance. Even if we are simply speaking about some battle, you see, because it is related with Krishna, it is absolute. In the material world, there are so many battles. There's World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, you see. What is the benefit of discussing such battles? There is no benefit for such discussion of battles. But if we talk about a battle where Krishna is present, you see, that is transcendental. Any topic in relationship with Krishna liberates us from the hellish condition in which we are presently being dragged. What is that condition? Birth, death, old age, and disease. You see, we are being kicked by these miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. The pitiable condition of the modern day society is they don't even recognize what the basic problems are. They don't even recognize. So they don't even recognize what are the basic problems. How will they solve the basic problem? They think, well, the basic problem is that the other political party is in power and our party has to get into power. You know, they become totally sidetracked. You know, the highway needs improving. There's too many chug holes in the highway. You know, I need to paint my house. I mean, they forget what the real problems of life are, you see. I don't like my wife. I need to get a divorce and get an, you know. These are stupid things. They don't actually realize what are the real problems of life: birth, death, old age, and disease. So if people can actually recognize what the problem, true problems of life are: birth, death, old age, and disease, and they can take the actual remedy, which is the hearing and discussing the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, and philosophy of that all-beautiful, all-wonderful, enchantingly sublime, supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, you see, then all those problems will go away. They think that by science they will solve the problems. They say that we have evolved now to the point where we can control nature. Up to this point, we were controlled by nature, Darwinian natural selection. But now, somehow or other, we have come to the position where we become the masters of nature. We can now manipulate nature and do whatever we want with nature. We can achieve, we can attain immortality. We simply have to advance in scientific technology, you see. This is their rascal philosophy nowadays, you see. They become so deluded. They think they become God, that they can control the material nature. But they don't realize how dependent they are upon God at every minute. Is the scientist making his own heart beat? Is he consciously beating his heart? Is it by his will that his heart is beating? No. It is by higher authority that his heart is beating, you see. And when his heart stops beating, he's finished. It doesn't matter if he has a big PhD. It doesn't matter if he's a big Nobel laureate. It's useless. It doesn't matter if he's a multimillionaire. It's completely useless. Totally useless. Therefore, to study such topics as this, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the essential ingredient for happiness and success in life. By understanding who are these great personalities, you see, this is how we can actually make rapid progress in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we think, well, the most important thing is to worship Krishna. But you know what Prabhupada points out? He says that just as Hanumanji was by, of course it was by Ram's grace, but actually he showed more power than Ram for crossing to Lanka. See? Ram depended on a bridge. Of course it was a pretty amazing bridge floating those boaters in the ocean. But still, Hanuman actually showed more power than Ram. He just leapt into Lanka. He simply jumped into Lanka. Prabhupada explains that Hanuman, he was more powerful than Ram. He said, in the same way, worshipping the devotee of the Lord is more powerful than worshipping the Lord. So someone may wonder, well, I thought this is Krishna consciousness. What are we doing studying about Parikshit Maharaj, you see? This is Parikshit consciousness. It's not Krishna consciousness. Why are you studying about Parikshit instead of Krishna? But actually, by studying these great saintly personalities like Maharaj Parikshit, you see, we get more mercy. Krishna is more pleased. Like he told Arjuna, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee. He is my actual devotee. So you want to get the full mercy of Krishna? You want to get out of the suffering condition of material existence? You see, then you worship the devotee. You hear about Parikshit Maharaj. You worship this great saintly king, Parikshit Maharaj. How bold he was to personally attack the personality of Kali. What are you doing in my kingdom, you see? He was not afraid. Nowadays, the political leaders, they sit in their the White House or whatever their house of government is, and they send the poor boys to the battlefield to fight the war, you see. Boys who were never trained as Kshatriya, you see. He had no training as Kshatriya, and they put him on the battlefield. They give him a few weeks of training. Here's how to shoot the gun. Here's how to run around a little bit. 2 or 3 weeks of training, maybe. Recently, there was a case in the U.S. that some boy was drafted, or he enlisted, he went to Iraq, and he missed even the standard training that everyone gets before they go to Iraq because he didn't get. They gave him 2 or 3 weeks of training. They shipped him off to Iraq. The first day he was shot dead, you see. First day on the battlefield. So this is the situation in the modern-day society. These political leaders, they sit comfortably in the White House or whatever the palace, whatever they have, and they send the boys out to the battlefield to be shot dead, even though they were never trained as a Kshatriya. They did never receive proper training as a Kshatriya. So personalities like Maharaj Parikshit, you see, they didn't sit comfortably in the palace. They personally went to fight against the personality of Kali. This is actual Kshatriya. They will never sit comfortably in the palace and let the common soldier go out and be killed in the battlefield. They will lead the fight. They will lead the battle. This is actual Kshatriya. They are not cowardly. If they are cowardly, they are not Kshatriya. Actually, in several centuries ago, there's a famous state in India, Rajasthan, famous for the Rajasthani kings, you see. They're very famous for their chivalry. Actually, Maharaj Jai Singh, he protected the Vrindavan deities, you see, because he was chivalrous warrior. So there's one story that when the king, he went to fight, and he was not successful in the fight. He came back to the palace after having lost the battle, and the queen wouldn't let him in. She said, my husband would either die in battle, he would either come back victorious, or he would die in battle. Whoever that is at the door is not my husband. She wouldn't let him back into the palace. If she wouldn't let him in the gate. This is actual Kshatriya. They either win the battle or they die, that's it. They either win or they give up their life. So, where do we see such kshatriya like Parikshit Maharaj, you see, in the modern day world? We do not see. And what was the strength of the kshatriya? The strength of the kshatriya is, we will see, it's not so much revealed yet, but in the upcoming chapters, especially, I think we will get to the last chapter, the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami. We will see how devoted Parikshit Maharaj is to his Guru Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, you see. That is the strength of the kshatriya. He is so dedicated to his spiritual master. Actually, we have the Nava Vidha Bhakti, the 9 different items of devotional service. And what are the first two? That is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. You see, hearing and chanting about Vishnu. Each one of these 9 items, Nava Vidha, they have a corresponding acharya, or someone who is the ideal example of becoming perfect through this particular activity. The first one on the list, Parikshit Maharaj. Because he was perfect in hearing. The second one, who was perfect in speaking? Shukadeva Goswami. The one who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. So here, while we are studying the historical events surrounding the recitation of the Bhagavatam, we should understand the basic thing that's going on here. It's the guru-disciple relationship, you see. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. This is what makes this pastime transcendental. You see? It's not a casual relationship. Shishi gornitai ki jai, shishi radadamadar ki jai. It's not that just sitting and chatting as friend. You see? It's a very formal relationship. Parikshit Maharaj is offering respectful obeisances. He's humbly inquiring. In this way, you see, in the mood of humble service, in this way he's inquiring from Shukadev. This is what makes the Bhagavatam potent. Because the discussions are being done according to proper Vaishnava etiquette between disciple and guru. Sometimes we see different etiquettes are there. But that doesn't work for transcendental enlightenment. You see. That's why Arjuna explains, Karpanya dosho pahata sabhava pushchamitvang dharma samuddacheha yat shreyan sannishchitan bruhitang me shishyashtehang shadimang tvang prapanam. Arjuna had been relating with Krishna as friend. Companion, you see. But what was the result? Now I am bewildered. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. I'm in a confused state of mind. That was the result of his being, you know, buddy-buddy with Krishna. You see. That we are associates. No. That's now how we should approach the spiritual master, as some companion, some associate. We have to, if we do that, you can do that, but you will be confused if you do. You will have confusion. If you approach the spiritual master in a mood of familiarity, you will be confused, ultimately. You will lose, you will be bewildered by the illusory nature of the material world. But if one actually approaches the spiritual master, as described here in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, the result will be that you become spiritually enlightened. Just as Parikshit Maharaj becomes fully enlightened and liberated from all anxieties, even though death is coming. He knows it's coming, you see. He knows the snake bird is going to come and... Just imagine having a snake bird fly out of the sky and bite you. It's a horrible, hideous creature, you see. Was he in a state of fear? Oh my God, the snake bird is going to come. Maybe I better, you know, get a metal shack, you know. Did he think about protecting himself? Actually, he didn't need to do that. He had the power to withdraw the curse. But he thought, well, this is a great opportunity. I know I'm going to die in 7 days. This is wonderful. Why should I be in anxiety that my death is coming? This is a great blessing, you see. This is a fantastic opportunity. I know for sure I'm going to die very soon. What a great opportunity I have now. I can just focus on, you know, on Krishna consciousness, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He was so enthused, he was so enlivened, he didn't even want to sleep, he didn't want to eat, he didn't even want to bother to take a drink of water. He was so enlivened to hear about Krishna from the lotus mouth of his Guru Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami. So enlivened. He was just in a state of complete, total bliss. I mean, fear was the last thing in the world for him. Snake bird, who cares? A snake bird's a blesser. Snake bird is going to help me. He's my, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he stepped on the head of death. You know that pastime. Dhruva Maharaj, his death was coming. The Vaikuntha airplane came from the spiritual world to take him back to Vaikuntha. But as the airplane was there, death personified came rushing at Dhruva. You see, normally when death comes rushing at people, they become very fearful. Oh, death is coming. Oh. Become so afraid they pass stool and urine simultaneously in great fear, you see. But not Dhruva. He said, oh, this is very good. Actually, death lowered his head, and Dhruva stepped on the head of death and entered into the Vaikuntha airplane. So this is how a devotee feels about dying. It's a stepping stone into the transcendental existence, as Srila Prabhupada explains. For a devotee, death means I go to sleep and I wake up with Krishna. Of course, everyone is dying, that is a fact. But the experience is completely different. Prabhupada compares it to the mouth of the cat. You know that there are two ways to experience the mouth of a cat? Yes, there are two ways to experience the mouth of a cat. One is from the perspective of a kitten, and the other is from the perspective of a rat, you see. When the cat picks up the kitten in its mouth, the mother cat will give the kitten a little ride, give him a little joy ride, you see. Pick him up and carry him along. Very affectionately, and the little kitten is feeling very happy. Mew, mew, mew. You see, my mother is carrying me, you see. She loves me, she's given me a little ride, you know, a little joy ride, see around the house, carrying me on a ride, you see. But when the same mouth of the cat picks up the rat, Prabhupada said, ki, 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 means dying. The rat is squealing in agony, knowing that in any second these jaws are going to come crushing down on me and I'm finished, you see. It's the same mouth of the same cat, but the experience is entirely different. So Parikshit Maharaj is absolutely, completely unafraid of death. Doesn't faze him in the slightest. He knows this is a wonderful thing. I'm going to die very soon. Wow. What a great opportunity. Now I can really dive into Krishna Katha like I've never driven into it before, you see. I can go deeper and deeper into Krishna Katha than I ever ever conceived of going. Actually, this is the blessing. A transcendentalist, as he approaches death, he is able to enter into new dimensions of transcendental consciousness, which he never even experienced before. It becomes a wonderful thing, the anticipation of death, because now he's able to find new areas of Krishna consciousness he didn't even experience ever before. So he goes deeper, just like a deep sea diver, you see. The deeper he goes into the ocean, he finds new things. Amazing new dimensions of the ocean atmosphere open up the deeper he goes. And the deeper and deeper and deeper he goes. So to know that one's death is coming, as Pariksit Maharaj knew, it's a wonderful blessing. Because now one can just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Now I have no other business now. I have no other duty. I'm wrapping everything up. My only duty now is to go deeper, 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 deeper into Krishna consciousness. You see, nothing else. So Pariksit Maharaj is now in a state of complete ecstasy. 7 days and that's it. You see, that's what's coming soon. We're sneaking ahead a little bit, actually. This is his last stand against the material nature in this chapter. He's taking a very strong stand against the material nature, and then very soon he'll be wrapping it up. So, we can learn from this these different aspects of the Leela of Pariksit Maharaj. While we are living in this world, we must make a very strong stand against Kali. As we discussed this morning, Kali within our hearts, we must take a very strong stand against that personality of Kali, and Kali who is manifested in this material world, you see. While we are living here, we must take a very strong stand against Kali. And then when the death warning comes, we just go deeply into Krishna consciousness. Actually, it is the same thing, but different rasa. That's all. Different aspects of the same thing. Simply to do our duty. You see. Pariksit Maharaj's question, what is the duty of one who is about to die? That was his question for the sages. It's an interesting simile here because as I travel and preach all over the world, one of the most popular questions I'm asked is, how do you choose your guru? It used to be so easy in ISKCON, it was just Prabhupada, you know. But now we have so many gurus. How do you choose the guru? Which one will be your guru? But actually, Pariksit Maharaj was in a similar situation. Because he was sitting there with all these gurus on the bank of the river wondering which advice should I take? Whose siksha will I take? It was not clear to him whose siksha I should take. It was not clear. But when Shukadev showed up, everybody knew that this is the one who should guide Pariksit Maharaj. This is the one who will be his guru, you see. Pariksit knew it, and all the other sages, everyone knew. This is the one who will be the spiritual master for Pariksit Maharaj now, to guide him how to get out of this material existence and go back to home, back to God. And there was no question. Everyone was of one opinion. Shukadev Goswami is it. Even though he was a young boy, his own father was there in the assembly, Veda Vyas, the one who gave him. That's an interesting thing. Veda Vyas gave Shukadev the knowledge. And he was in the assembly. But somehow, and Shukadev had been an impersonalist shortly before that. That makes it even more amazing. In the womb, he had been an impersonalist. But he heard the Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. And after 16 years of hiding in his mother's womb, not even wanting to be exposed to the material nature, as soon as he heard the Bhagavatam, boom, he came running out. He wouldn't even stay around the house long enough to get a set of clothes. I'm not going to get attached to household life, no way. boom, hit it off, naked, stark naked. You see? And that's how he arrived at this great assembly of sages, completely naked young boy. You see? But everybody knew, this is it. This is the person who will be the spiritual master. You see, this is the person who actually knows what Parikshit Maharaj needs right now, more than anyone else. All the sages were in complete agreement. This is the one who will now lead the day, who will take charge of this situation, this assembly. And for 7 days, they all heard Shukadev Goswami speaking. So we take that as a lesson then, in terms of those who are seeking a spiritual master. If we take this as a lesson, then it really becomes obvious. When your spiritual master actually manifests, you'll know this is him. Just as Parikshit knew, this is him. The aspiring disciple will know, this is the one. You see, it'll be very clear. Krishna will make it very clear. Just as Krishna made it very clear to Parikshit Maharaj and all those sages there at that assembly, the person is aspiring to find who his guru will be. It will be very clear. Krishna will make it very clear. This is the one, you see. There won't be any ambiguousness. Any confusion as to who should it be. No. It'll be very, very, very clear. This is the one who is qualified now to guide you how to achieve the topmost perfection of pure devotional service. So, as we are only skimming the surface of these topics, there are so many wonderful topics. I encourage everyone to go in and read these, all these verses and purports on your own. When you have some time, make time. Prabhupada said that all of my disciples, and that includes grand disciples, you see, he said all of my disciples must read all of my books or they will fall down. So everyone must all read all of these books very, very carefully. We're doing some overview here. So we can get a wonderful glimpse, a wonderful vision of what is this great personality, Maharaj Parikshit. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Yesterday you spoke about the importance of going to Mangala Aratya.
Yes.
You quoted this one shloka from Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur.
Yes.
That whoever chants this Guru Vashtaka will achieve the direct service of yes. Lord Krishna at the time of death.
Mm-hmm.
So is it so that we have to wait until death to achieve direct service of Krishna?
Oh, the statement is the direct service of Krishna in Vrindavan. You see, that's what's stated. You already have the direct service now. Even going to Mangalarti is direct service. But the verse says direct service of Krishna in Vrindavan. That means you'll go back to Vrindavan. At the time of death, you go to sleep and you go, wow, I'm in Vrindavan. The original one, not the one that has all the dirty sewage, you know, but the one where there's, you know, where the original Vrindavan in the spiritual world. You see, not the one that's covered over in many ways, but the pure, uncovered Vrindavan in the spiritual world. You go, wow, here I am in Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan. There's Radharani, there's the cowherd boys, there's Nanda Maharaj, you see, Mother Yasoda. There's Krishna coming back with all the boys and calves, you see, playing on his flute. You'll have that direct experience, you see. That's the advantage of attending Mangalarti every day. Taking it very seriously, worshipping the Guru, you see. Not just mechanically, but understanding what is the meaning of this Gurvastakam. And making it a living reality in your life, you see. It's like it states, you must worship your Guru 3 times a day, offer your respectful obeisances to your spiritual master, the 3 sanja. So we have that opportunity, especially with our Brahminical initiation. We're chanting Gayatri 3 times a day. So we always offer our respectful obeisances to our spiritual master, and we chant our Gayatri. And that way we're following the injunction of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And so many other items mentioned there. Of how we may we see the spiritual master Shakshat Dadi Samashta Shastriya. In all the scriptures he is seen to be directly Hari. This was what I remember. How amazed I was. I was a young boy just checking out the movement, and Vishnu Dharmaj told that you have to accept that Prabhupada is as good as God. I was thinking, what is this? As good as God? But then when the devotees explained it to me, I understood, yes. Spiritual master is as good as God because he is representing God. Whatever respect we would give if God himself were to enter the room, that respect we give to the spiritual master, you see. Same exact respect. So in this way, by understanding the Gravastakam, and your point is very correct point, that actually we are, this moment we are directly engaged in serving Krishna. Some people say, well, it's not really direct because it's through the medium of the guru. But you know what Prabhupada said? He said it is simultaneously direct and indirect. You see? In other words, by the mercy of the guru, you have the direct service of Krishna. So through the, just like when you talk to somebody on the telephone, are you not directly talking to them? Yes, you're directly having a conversation. But at the same time, it's indirect. It's through the medium of the telephone, isn't it? So, and even now, you and I are conversing. You asked a question, I'm answering. And actually, just as we use telephone, the laws of physics, there's sound vibration is being created here with the tongue and the vocal cords, you see, and it is going through the ether. It is also indirect. Even if we're 3 feet apart, it's indirect because it's through the medium of the ether that we are communicating. So it's simultaneously, we're having a direct conversation, but indirect because it's through the medium of the ether. So in the same way, we are directly connecting with Krishna and it is through the medium of Guru. Both things, simultaneously. So even though we are not directly connected with Krishna, we are connecting him through the medium of our Guru. At the same time, it is direct by the mercy of Guru. So yes, we do have the direct service of Krishna right now. That's the thing. It's absolutely true. Otherwise, how are we chanting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is directly coming and dancing in our tongues. We are directly connecting with Krishna right now. If we chant Hare Krishna without offense, you see, Krishna is coming and dancing in our tongue. We purely chant with a desire to become a pure devotee. Krishna is dancing in our tongue. Yes, good point. But there is a difference between Helsinki and Vrindavan. There is a difference. Yeah.
The personality of Kali was granted these 4 places and gold. So now people are breaking, when people are breaking these principles, they are making these illicit activities. So Kali is personally, what is his function, what he's doing personally when people are breaking these religions?
He's delighted like anything. He's enlivened like anything when all these people are captivated by illicit sex, intoxication, meeting, and gambling. He's experiencing demoniac pleasure. That he wants to keep these people in his clutches, and he's like a wicked demon, a fiendish. He'll have a fiendish pleasure in manipulating people and controlling them and exploiting them and hurting them in so many ways. So he's. Kali is very wicked. He's feeling great pleasure to see all the people in his clutches. Demoniac laugh, you see. And we steal them away, then Kali becomes very disappointed. You give them a book, and Kali is very disappointed. Oh no, I'm being defeated. This young brahmachari, he is defeating me. What to do? So you should make Kali miserable by distributing many, many books. Give him a bad day. Distributing as many books as possible. Every day Kali will dread when he sees you get out of the Sankirtan van. Oh my God, he's coming on the street again. Kali is very weak though compared to Lord Chaitanya, you see. You have the power of Lord Chaitanya behind you. So you can defeat the personality of Kali. You chant your rounds nicely. You read the books and hear the philosophy nicely. You come to Mangalarti. And then you go out and you preach. Distribute books, distribute prasadam. Go out and boldly push forward this movement. And the personality of Kali will have to run away and hide from you. Next question. Yes.
Prabhu, in the morning lecture there was mentioned that Brahmins should teach everybody.
Teach everyone, yes.
Yeah, but when we go out, we see that most of the people, they cannot even think straight. So
yeah.
Is it that Brahmins can teach everybody?
You have to, just like in warfare, the medics are trained. Because there are many men lying around dying, you know, suffering from severe wounds. So the medics, they give their medical attention to those wounded soldiers who are most likely to survive, you see. If they spend their energy on those who are going to die anyway, then those that could have been saved, if they neglect them, they will die also. So the medic will focus on those soldiers who are most likely to recover from their wounds, you see. So similarly, when you preach, if you ever have a choice, you should always go for those persons who are most likely to take it. Of course, if there's no one else around, you should go for everyone. You see, you never know. Just like you may have, I'm sure some of you already know the story because it was published, came out on the email. But there was one Mataji in France. She was distributing books. And she got on the train there in Paris to distribute books. And this one man, this one demoniac man, very demoniac man from Spain. He was actually a banker from Spain. He grabbed the Krishna book. He ripped it up. He stomped on it. It was horrible. He dragged her by the hair and pulled her off. He actually wounded the girl. She was bleeding. He dragged her by the hair and threw her off the train. She was physically injured. It was a horrible thing what he did, you see. This girl, just in a mood of, you know, Lord Chaitanya's mercy must go to everyone. She approached this man. He physically abused her. He desecrated the Krishna book. It was a horrible thing. But then he wanted to show his wife, you know, he was really proud. Yeah, I desecrated this book. I'm going to show my wife, you know, how I desecrated this book. He took the desecrated Krishna book back to his home in Spain so he could show off to his wife how he had torn this book up and, you know, desecrated it. But then, so he had that desecrated Krishna book sitting in his house. His wife actually died after some time. His daughter ran off with someone. He was all alone. And the servant thought that, saw this book, which was all torn up, and they thought it was maybe a dog had grabbed it or something. And so the servant repaired the book very nicely and put it back on the shelf. And all these things happened. You know, the wife died. The daughter went away. He was all alone, completely miserable. He was looking, where's the Bible? I need some help. There was no Bible on his shelf. But there was the Krishna book. He grabbed it. And he read the Krishna book for 3 days straight. He read the Krishna book. And he had a complete change of heart. He went, oh my God, what did I do to that girl? Horrible demon I am. He felt so horrible. He found out where the temple was. He went to the temple. He knocked on the door. He was kneeling on his knees. When the door opened, he was on his knees crying and begging, oh, I'm so sorry. I did such a horrible thing. He was crying and weeping and begging forgiveness from some devotee. He opened the door and he went, who is this man in a business suit crying on his knees at the door? He didn't know what was going on, you know. And the man actually gave a donation. He ended up moving into the temple. He became a Sankirtan devotee. Actually became a Sankirtan devotee distributing books. Can you imagine? So you never know, you know. And these books are powerful. When there's a choice, you should always go for the person who's most receptive. But, you know, you never, sometimes you may not really know who's going to come out. This demon who wounded a Brahmacharini, caused blood to come from her. He so badly physically abused her in the train station. He became a book distributor, you see. He gave up being a wealthy banker, became a Sankirtan devotee, you see. So you never know. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is not to his program is not to discriminate. You see, give to everyone. Doesn't matter if they're pious, they're impious, they're lame, they're invalid, they're blind, everyone. What is that shloka? Satjanna durjanna pangu jada andagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatara janam. This tsunami of Krishna prema, you see, prema vanyaya means tsunami of Krishna prema. This will inundate the entire world and drown everyone. Doesn't matter who they are. They may be pious, satjanna. They may be impious, durjana. They may be blind, anda. They may be lame, pangu. They may be invalid, jada. But everyone, dubaila, jagatera, jana. Everyone will become drowned in this Krishna prema tsunami. So, you can always see this person is better. Try like that, but you have to understand. This is in the hands of Krishna. You simply try to give this mercy to everyone. That's all. Try to give the mercy to everyone. Okay? Questions more? Everyone satisfied? All right, so tomorrow now, we have completed now the punishment and reward in Kali. And tomorrow we see the wonderful benediction that Parikshit Maharaj received, and that is how he was cursed by the Brahmin boy. In Krishna consciousness, even a curse is a benediction, you see. Someone may hear, oh, I'm cursed now, I have terminal cancer, it's a curse, but no, you see. We will see how even a curse is actually a blessing. That's how, what we'll be studying now for the next few days, how a curse of certain death becomes the greatest blessing. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sakasapurpul ki jai.
Iskan Finland Vaishnavas ki jai.